Hello, 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 and good morning, and hello, babies. I heard you crying out, I love you, babies. Glad to have our babies here. Man, there is, I don't know, I love the sound of babies, crying or not crying. It's just fantastic. It shows the life that is coming into this world, and it's so powerful, and we're so glad that they're at church with us. So if you hear those little squeaks and squeals, just smile and enjoy them. So glad not only our babies are here, but glad each of you are here. So maybe you're a little bit older than our babies, and you still screech and squeal at home, but probably not in public anymore. But I'm really glad that you're here as well. And so thank you for coming to church this morning. Last week, we finished our series about Fresh Start, and I finished that series by asking for questions about your spiritual calling and about your spiritual fresh start. And coincidentally, or like I like to say, God incidentally, we're starting a series where we're going to look at questions that Jesus asked throughout his ministry. Now, when I started to lay out this series, I was putting all these questions that Jesus asked, and I was at a list of over 60 questions that he asked throughout his ministry. So he was constantly asking questions, and we're not going to cover all of them because we have time constraints, but I've narrowed it down to just a couple of questions that I want to cover over 3 weeks. And so this morning, today, we're going to look at three questions as a progression to being a Christ disciple. The first question is about understanding. The second question is about belief. And the third question is about action. So understanding, which leads to belief and then ought to lead to action. And a breakdown in any one of these points would cause one to not be functioning properly as a disciple. So all of our points today, they're going to build together to either a great crescendo or a devastating collapse. We'll see at the end. So here we go with understanding. Now, I totally cheated because I said it's three questions, but there's actually three questions in the first question, but they're all in the same passage and they're kind of the same question. So yeah, here we go. This is in Matthew chapter 16. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do you say the Son of Man is?" And they replied, who do the people say the Son of Man is? And they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets maybe." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say that I am?" And then Simon Peter answered. He said, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." So Jesus asked this question, what's the word on the street about me? And some people think that he's a herald of national repentance, just like John the Baptist was, telling people to, turn from the bad things that they were doing. Some people thought he was a miracle worker, like Elijah in the Old Testament. And others thought he was a prophet who spoke the words of God, like Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. Now, the general tendency in all of the answers was to underestimate and undervalue Jesus, to give him a measure of respect and honor, but to fall far, far short of recognizing him properly for who he really is. And I think that's possibly true in our day today. If you ask people about Jesus, they'll say he's a great moral teacher, or he gave incredible examples, or he talked about the way to live life well, or he was a good prophet, or he was these kind of things that gave him a measure of honor even today, and yet take away the real power of Jesus. Because the real question in our passage, it's not about the crowd at all. That's just a starter question that Jesus was getting towards his disciples. The real question is to his disciples when he says, "How about you? Who do you say that I am?" Now, it's fine that the disciples know about what the other people think about Jesus, but he has to ask them as individuals what they understood about him. So the first question has to do about understanding. Who do you understand that I am? Who do you think that I am? Who do you say that I am? And the answer, the correct answer, by the way, was from Peter. And he says, "You're the Messiah," first part. The second part, "You're the Son of the living God." So Peter knew the opinion of the crowd, though complimentary, it wasn't accurate. Jesus is much more than John the Baptist, greater than Elijah, more powerful than any prophet. Jesus was the Christ, the Messiah. And this has in mind that God promised even from the Old Testament to come and save his people. Messiah is the same word for savior, that God came to deliver and to save people from their sins. And then he says, you are God. The title that he says that Jesus is the Son of the Living God, the Jews would understand this, that when you use this in a unique sense, you are saying that you are in fact God yourself. And so this is what Peter confesses. You're the Savior of the Old Testament, promised to come get us from our sins, and you are actually God. That's what I think about you. I think you are the God of the universe come in human flesh. Now, our understanding of who Jesus is shapes how we act toward him, how intently we listen to his teaching. Because if he's just a good teacher, or if he's just another prophet that's a human being, or if he's just a miracle worker, then we can ignore him a little bit. We can choose to not listen to certain parts of what he says. We can take the moral teaching that we like, and we can reject the ones that we don't really want to do. We can not murder, but we're going to definitely keep envying. Right? If he's just a moral teacher, and so how we think of God, how we understand who Jesus is, will affect our lives. It's a critical question placed before all of us who hear about Jesus. And it's we, not he, who are judged by the answer. Jesus knows who he is. Who do you think he is? If, in fact, you answer this question, Jesus, I think you are God. I think you're the Messiah. Then it will be more than a confession. It will show up in your day-by-day life. If you really understand the magnitude of who Jesus is, it'll affect your belief system. Who do you guys really say Jesus is? Honestly, in your heart of hearts, not as like a sermon question or who do you really think Jesus is? Like, honestly, do you think he saved you from your sins? And do you think that he's God in human flesh? And if those two things are true, that matters. That understanding will change things. What's the reality in your actual heart? I mean, only you and God know it. We're not saying it out loud here. So be as honest as you can in your own heart. Who do you think Jesus is? What is your understanding of him? And the way that you'll know, and the way that I will know, and the way that onlookers will know what the truth of your understanding is by your actions. Your actions will always prove the truth of your understanding in your heart over and above your confessions. We're going to see that a little bit later. For now, we're going to move from understanding to belief, because once we understand something about Jesus, which is really important, it has to move over to the next space, which is belief. Check out this question that's going to come up in Matthew 9. As Jesus went on from there, two blind men, they followed him, and they were calling out, "Have mercy on us, Son of David!" When he had gone indoors, the blind men, they came to him, and they asked him, and he asked him the question, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" "Yes, Lord," they replied. Then he touched their eyes and he said, "According to your faith, let it be done to you." And their sight was restored. So it's not easy for these blind guys to follow Jesus. You got to imagine, they're not daredevil. They can't echolocate Jesus. They need help. They got to ask their friends. They got to try to listen. Oh, wait, he's over there. Sometimes I try to imagine what it's like being blind, and I usually, in the shower, I say, could I take a shower without, my eyes? So I close my eyes, and I say, oh, the water's, where's the other knob? I try to imagine. It's I can't even do simple things. And so here they're trying to follow Jesus, who's walking around. They're trying to locate him. And they're like, hey, where's Jesus? They got to pull in all their favors. They got to use all their senses. But they're determined to follow Jesus. And when they find him, they're shouting out, oh, there he is, Jesus, have mercy on us. Son of David, have mercy on us. And they shout this open recognition as Jesus as the Messiah. Because Son of David, we don't recognize it, but in Jewish literature and Jewish understanding, this title, Son of David, was a rich messianic title of the person that was going to come. They understood who he was. But more was needed. They had the first question right. I understand who Jesus is. But what does Jesus then ask them? Do you believe that I am able to do this? Their understanding had to move over to belief or faith. Jesus healed the blind man in response to their belief, in response to their faith. Now, faith doesn't guarantee a healing, but the lack of faith guarantees a healing isn't going to happen. How many people have passed by a miracle because of their own lack of faith that was available? According to your faith, he says, let it be done to you. Here, Jesus emphasizes the importance of faith and belief and the blessing that follows. And in many ways, I think God says the same thing to us today. According to your faith, let it be done to you. There's much more that we can have by faith if we believe and we reach out and we grab hold of everything that Jesus offers. And there's so much, I think, that is never received in our lives because we don't reach out for it in faith. We don't reach out to it in God. We don't look to God for His power and His mercy. We look to ourselves and our own ability. And so I think we miss so many things because we're not constantly reaching out to God to see His miracles at work. D.A. Carson rightly emphasizes that according to your faith doesn't mean like in proportion to your faith. So like much faith means much sight, or like if they have 50% sight, only one eye comes back or something. I mean, 50% faith. It's not in proportion to, but rather since you believe this is true, your request has been granted. Now, the belief of these blind men, I think it's worthy of noticing and then emulating. Their belief led them to follow Jesus. They abandoned different other paths that they could have gone down, the other directions, and they decided to seek after Jesus. Their belief prompted them to cry out, to put words to their desires. They didn't just hold it inside, but they said, Jesus, I gotta tell you this. Jesus, have mercy on us. They put words to their desires. They had faith to make some noise. And not be afraid of the side eye of the crowd, you know, like, shut up, you know, this kind of thing. Well, they're blind, so they can't see the side eye anyway, so like maybe it doesn't matter to them. But their belief led them to proclaim Jesus as the Son of David, the Messiah. They believed that Jesus could grant them mercy and an undeserved healing. Their belief led them to answer the question, yes, Lord, when he asked, do you believe I can do this? So I have to say, how about you? Do you believe that Jesus has the ability to do miracles today and now? Do you believe that he can do the miraculous in your life? And all sorts of miracles, healing ones, salvation, life changes, relationship miracles, marriage mercies. The list's endless. Is that what you think is true about Jesus? Does he have the ability to do that? Is there anything that Jesus can't do in terms of a miracle? And he asked you today, do you believe that I'm able to do this? Are you then, if your answer is yes, are you living your life in this reality, or are you living your life as if Jesus cannot do miracles or will not do miracles? That's a sort of rough thing to stomach, I think. Do I say that I really do believe it, and then I don't actually move or operate in that space? I operate in the space of me doing everything. Oh, God, I believe you can do miracles. Jesus, I know that you can affect things. I know you can affect healing, God. I know you can affect my job. I know you can affect my attitude and my relationships. But I'm going to navigate over here. So my confession is this. My understanding is this. I say my belief is this. And my action is this. I only try to preach to self. You got to preach to yourself. I think that's me a lot. Where, like, I believe in your miracles. God, I believe in your power. So I should do these five. Maybe I could put it into my hands. Do I think God is going to do miraculous thing and he has the ability to? I do. And am I navigating in that space or am I navigating in my own space? If we understand the magnitude of who Jesus is, and we believe that he can do anything in us and with us, then that's going to lead us to this banger of a last question. And so if it's yes and yes, then we get to this last question. God, I understand who you are, and I actually think you can do miracles. And then we get into the space where we can live it out as a disciple. Check out what he says. In Luke chapter 6, it's recorded this way. He says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and then you don't do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my word and puts them into practice, I'll show you what they're like. That person, they're like a guy who builds a house and he digs deep and he lays a foundation on the rock, and the flood came and the torrent struck the house. It couldn't be shaken because it's well built. But the one who hears my word and he doesn't do them, doesn't put it into practice, is like the man who built his house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck the house, it collapsed, and its destruction was complete. So Jesus made a distinction between those who merely make a verbal confession or profession of faith and those both hear, and then it affects their life and turns into action, understanding belief and then moving into action. The warning of Jesus applies to any who say, Lord, Lord, and yet their spiritual life has nothing to do with their daily life. So you come to church, and maybe even you do a religious thing, like you open up your Bible app and you do your verse of the day on your way to work, and then the rest of the day, Jesus is irrelevant. And then when you get home and the relationships you have with your wife and your kids or your family or your team or all this other stuff, then it doesn't affect that either. And then you get up and you do your verse in the morning, and you have that one single moment with Jesus, and it doesn't affect your life. Then you're really the guy who's saying, Lord, Lord. But it's not affecting all the parts of your life. It's only affecting this like one part where you've compartmentalized Jesus to be on Sunday for an hour and a half, and then in that morning devotion for that one verse of the day that you got on the Bible app, and that was the whole Jesus time. And Jesus saying, that isn't what it's about. Didn't you understand the magnitude of who I am? If it is true that I am God in human flesh, I am the Messiah. And then I asked you, do you believe that? You say, I believe it. That you could do everything, a miracle in all parts, not just in spiritual parts, but in physical parts. The guy was blind. It's not a spiritual issue. He couldn't see things. He had trouble at work because his eyes went out. And Jesus says, like, you say this and you say this, and then you got to move into the space of living in that reality. In Jesus' illustration of the two builders, each house looked the same on the outside, but the foundation's not the same. There's no way for us to look here, a look out. Y'all look like well-built houses. You look beautiful. You like have nice front. Like you're, as Christians, you look amazing. It's only between you and the Lord whether you know if it's dug down deep or not. Whether you're saying, I believe, I understand, and then I'm doing it. Jesus says that's the person who's living on firm foundation. The person who says, I believe, I understand who you are, but I'm going to do it my way. That person is on shaky ground. Jesus warned the foundation of our lives will be shaken at some point. And it's so true. And a disciple will emerge victorious in the middle of whatever happens. Merely hearing God's word isn't enough to provide a secure foundation. It's necessary that we are doers of God's word. The parable points to the truth claim of the question. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do what I say? So if you call Jesus Lord, then you'll do what he says. And if you don't, you're an idiot. At this moment, this is the place of either a great crescendo or a devastating collapse. And the choice is yours. The parable speaks about what will happen in our reality if we choose one path over the other. And Jesus makes no bones about it. He says, you believe this, you understand this, and you follow it, there will be an incredible security in your life. There will be a foundation that cannot be shaken. It won't matter what hits you. It won't matter what comes around. I'll do miracles in the middle of your life. Or you can say, like, I believe I say it, and I'm not going to do it. And Jesus says, if you find yourself in that place, that's going to be a great collapse. It's going to be, you're going to have to deconstruct your faith or something like that's sort of popular right now. Because it was never built on the foundation of Jesus in not only verbal confession, but action. You get to choose which path you're going to take. You get to choose whether your foundation is going to be on Jesus or on your own self and understanding. And it doesn't only matter what you say right now. It matters what you do right now. It matters what you do after service and then later this evening and then Monday when you go to work, it matters. And Wednesday night when there's all that other stuff and church is now 5 days away or 4 days away, that's when it matters. And then again on the weekend, all next year. Understanding leads to belief, which then shows up in actions. So we've been talking about fresh start, new heart, and new mind. Well, is that going to be your reality? Or is that just a nice little sermon pep talk where you're like, ooh, good one, yay. Or are you going to step into new reality? Are you going to step into your spiritual calling? Or are you waiting for someone to invite you to it, to tell you to do it? Well, last week I kind of forgot to tell you that the moment that you're interested in a spiritual calling that's greater than the one you're walking in, I'd love for you to talk to me. The moment that you think God is calling you to say, we were talking about being a lay pastor or talking to you to a greater acts of service, then let me know. Because you know what? There's no way that I can know God's calling in your life unless you tell me. And I can't help you fulfill that, and I can't point you in the right directions, and I can't come alongside you unless you share with me. Change happens, all change, rejecting sin or following our calling, whatever, when our understanding informs our belief, which then shows up in our actions. Well, then here it is. Here it is this morning. Jesus just said to you in Luke 6:46, he said it to every one of us this morning, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you don't do what I say? If you know that God has called you to something, and you know what he said to you, why don't you do what he says? It's really that simple. Like, you don't even actually need to pray on it. Like, people will be like, oh, I'll pray on that for a little while, you know? Like, no, you don't actually. If you know what God wants you to do, then you can just do it. You don't need to get my permission. You don't need to ask anyone else. You just start to do the things that God asks you to do. And those are different for every single one of us this morning. And I'm not only talking about a calling into ministry or in that sense, but in every aspect of your life, you know that God is asking you to do some different things. And it's different for every one of us because we're all in different situations. Now, it might be in a ministry sense where you know that God has called you to be a lay pastor. Okay, let's go. I'm ready for that. I can't wait. We got a lane for it. We're ready for you. But it may be that God is telling you to drop the attitude with your parents, teenagers. Then do it. Stop doing the attitude. Or maybe you know that Jesus wants you to pray some more, and you've been hearing that a couple of times, and it wasn't even from this sermon. It's on a billboard, and you were thinking that. And you know God wants you to pray more. Well, you know what you should do? You should just pray more. You don't have to like, think about it. Like, just do the thing, the action. Maybe you're convinced that your pornography viewing is sinful. Well, then stop viewing it. Or you know that God's calling you to start a new business. And don't be scared. Start it. Because remember, we worship this God whose magnitude is much higher than the public understands. And we believe that he can do a miracle. And so if God says, like, start this business, you go, I don't really know how. I don't have the right capital. I don't have the right this. I don't have the right expertise. If you think God has asked you to do that, then you do that. Because he will miraculously provide for blindness, for finances, for relational fixes, for all of it. His miracles, they're not limited to like, oh, it's just this one spiritual miracle that happens where you accept Jesus Christ and that's the only miracle that God's doing in the world. That isn't. Well, that's not my understanding of Jesus. That's not the clear teaching of the Bible. The miracle is available in all sorts of areas. So stop just knowing about God's call or hearing about it or thinking that you should do it or stop praying on it. At some point, you just respond and go do it. And I've seen it multiple times in this church. I know we have one of our missionary friends here who may share in a couple of weeks where she just said, I'm just going to do it. I know God wants it, so I'm going for it. What do you already know God wants from you? I'm not asking you to do something that you don't know about yet, but what do you already know this morning? What do you already know that he's asked you to do, but you're scared to do it? That you're worried that there won't be enough X, Y, or Z, that you won't have enough fill in the blank, whatever the excuse or worry is. Whatever God is calling you to do, if he is in fact, our understanding is that he is God of the universe, come to save us, and that he has all the power to do all of the miracles, and I think he's actually calling me to do this, then do it. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you're not doing what I tell you to do? This is Jesus' teaching, you guys, not mine. I didn't come up with this. I'm not trying to, like, be all heavy on nobody. It's Jesus, you follow it or not, you know? You are headed for a great crescendo, or you are headed for a devastating collapse. And the choice is yours, because God's already done his part. The deciding factor is you. Isn't that crazy? That God's like, I'm ready to go. I'm the miracle guy. I came to earth. I paid for the sin. I gave you mercy. I'm ready. And he's like, this for you. It's based on who you think Jesus is. Do you believe he has the power to do what he says he can do? And then your subsequent actions. So I think the ball's in your court, as always. The questions Jesus asked to those 2,000 years ago are the exact same questions he's asking to us this morning. He's asking you about your understanding, about your belief, and has that led to action? So I want you to take some time to just pray right now and wrestle internally how you want to respond. Because it's not a spiritual pep talk. It's just, it's you, and this is Jesus' word to you. Answer those questions. Who do you say that I am? Do you believe that I can do this? And why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you don't do what I say? Take some time to pray that through, and after a bit, we're going to close in a worship song together.